Viva Las Vegas!
Bunker in the Rocky Mountains, it's time for Downrange Radio and your host, Michael Bain.
Yes, sirree, Bob. Viva, viva, viva Las Vegas, and welcome to SHOT 2010, Shooting, Hunting, Outdoor Trade Show. The hot, seething center of all things guns, all things shooting, right here in Las Vegas, Nevada. I, of course, am indeed your host, Michael Bain. And, wow, I'm also an exhausted Michael Bain. I have to tell you that. First day of SHOT. We are actually, of course, on the range all day Monday. Today was just an absolute panic-stricken day of filming, both for Shooting Gallery, for SHOT Show TV. Also, for Downrange TV, OutdoorChannel.com, we've got a lot of video that's going to be going up, and I am basically one tired puppy, but I'm also one really happy puppy. You remember just a couple of weeks ago, and oh, by the way, that was the Dead Kennedys version of Viva Las Vegas, truly one of the great versions of the Elvis song, and hey, I like that version a little better than Elvis, although I hope I won't be struck by lightning here in Magic Elvis Town. But remember we talked a couple of weeks ago at the very beginning, the first show of the new year, I said, you know, I'm optimistic. We had a terrible year in politics, just an awful year, worst case nightmare in politics. But I said, you know, I'm optimistic. I am optimistic for the new year. And that's certainly being borne out because, of course, we're recording here very, very late Tuesday night where we found out that Scott Brown, Republican Scott Brown, has taken the Kennedy seat. In Massachusetts, all of a sudden, the Democratic supermajority no longer exists. We are starting to take our country back. It's a wonderful, powerful statement that right here, already in January of the new year, we are starting to reclaim America. And I think a message has been sent to Washington, and that message is going to snowball over and over and over again. So, hey, what could be better? What could be better than being at the SHOT Show? you know, surrounded by all the coolest firearms, all the coolest accessories in the world, and then finding out that a Democrat has finally won in Massachusetts for the United States Senate. Wonderful, wonderful feeling. So, hey, all cool. It's all cool. So we got a lot to talk about. I just want to kind of jump right into it here. And like I said, I want to jump right into it before I actually fall asleep, because there's a danger of that. I could just keel over, with kind of like narcolepsy or something. Blump, hit the ground, because I'm tired. But let's jump right into it. First thing I want to talk about here, and because it surprised me. It really surprised me. This is not something I expected. Let's talk about that darn fourth-generation Glock. Okay, and I realize in the past I might have made a little light of Glocks. That the new generation, first generation, second generation, third generation, I'm like, oh, well, you know, you got to be a Glock fanboy to even figure out what's going on, what's changing. Well, I talked a little bit about the fourth-gen Glock, things like that, and until I shot it, I really didn't understand how much of a step forward the fourth-gen Glock is. Out at the range with Chris Edwards, my good friend Chris Edwards from Glock, we've been friends for about 1,000 years. We shot IPSC together back when we were still shooting percussion Colt 36 revolvers. But went out to the range on Monday, and Chris had a Model 17, a G17 Glock, 9mm baseline Glock, fourth-gen Glock. And you know, we put a bunch of rounds through that gun. And here's what I found that I totally didn't expect to find. A huge reduction in felt recoil. A reduction in muzzle rise. And that's because of that dual spring system. The great big spring, the little bitty spring. That dual spring system and a slight change in the grip frame. It's the smaller Glock grip frame. And it, you know, certainly fits my hands, girly man hands, better. If your hands are bigger, of course, now you have the adjustable back straps. You can clip or pin in a new back strap to fit your hand. But the key thing for me was the recoil reduction in the gun. And granted, a Glock 17, a G17 and 9mm isn't exactly recoiling wildly either. It's not a hugely recoiling gun. But I have to tell you, there is a substantial reduction in felt recoil and muzzle rise with the fourth gen Glock. And certainly I didn't expect that. You know, I've shot a lot of Glocks, all the various and sundry flavors. I personally have a G19, a G34, and a G26. So three members of the 9mm Glock family. So I really didn't expect anything that different, but it is definitely a major step up. I like the textured finish. As we said before, we laugh, you know, we make a joke of it. It's sort of a mid-level textured finish. It's not as rough as the rough textured finish, which can be used indeed to grate cheese zest lemons and also shred the fabric off your clothes on a concealed carry gun. That rough textured finish of the Glock that came out late last year, essentially was aimed at the special operations community who wanted a Glock that would stick to their hands no matter how wet, oily, greasy, icky, ooh it is. So you got kind of that mid-level finish on the Glock. And I like it. I like the way it feels. I like the way the Glock feels in my hand. Secondly, you all know that I am not a huge fan of the 40 Smith & Wesson cartridge. I mean, I know there's some people that swear it's as good as biscuits and gravy in the morning. I'm like, oh, snore nod. Basically, I feel, to sum it up briefly, that bullet technology in the last 20 years has changed so substantially that the difference between a 9mm round, a trick 9mm round, and a trick 40 Smith & Wesson round is very, very small. And as you also know, I do not believe in the concept of a one-shot stop. So much focus over the years went into stopping power, stopping power, stopping power, stopping power. Well, I think that you got to shoot. If you got to shoot someone, you need to shoot them a lot of times. And the fastest way to deliver the largest number of rounds is the better tool within limits. I mean, so I don't want somebody to go like, well, if I got a 5mm rimfire, I can run that thing fast as a dog. No, no, no. When we're talking about a major caliber gun, 45 ACP, 9mm, 40 Smith & Wesson, or 357 in the revolver cartridges, of course, 44 Special, 44 Magnum. When you're looking at rounds in that area, I'd go all the way down to 38 plus P. When you're looking at rounds in those categories, then there's an insignificant difference in stopping power, and in fact, stopping power is kind of a disease. You think, okay, all I got to do is fire one round because I'm shooting a Tyrannosaurus Rex, knock them down, fall, drop, dead. Well, no. So anyway, I'm not a crazy fan of the 40, but one of the things, Chris Edwards has never been a fan of 40s either. Chris is now carrying a 40 caliber Glock with a light on it. And because he feels very strong, he's put tens of thousands of rounds through his guns, through the 40 caliber Glocks now, with no problems, no stoppages that are perhaps because of the frame flexing, because of the additional weight of the light module on the rail. It's a redesign that apparently works. And actually, I know Chris, ex-law enforcement. If Chris is carrying a Glock, a 40 caliber Glock, and he feels that gun is 100%, my thinking would be it's 100%. So I liked it. I liked the G17 a lot in the Gen 4. Am I going to get one? Yeah, probably. I'll be honest with you. Probably. My inclination is to look at a G17 and kind of complete the set, right? 17, 19, 20, 26, 34. But it's interesting. And also, I'd like to throw this out there that my sweetie, who works with me in the company, of course, she was also out on the range, and she has never been able to, the Glocks that she shot a G19, and just didn't like it, couldn't hit with it, wasn't very happy with it. Chris had her shooting the Gen 4 G17 at 8-10-inch plate at 25 yards, and she was just ringing it, ding, 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 ding. Easy gun to shoot fast. I guess the main thing for you to look at is when the videos go up, and right now, this is amazing, Marshall Holloway, of course, my partner in downrange, is actually chained in a hotel room, two floors below me, uploading video. We're trying to get as much video up as we can for you, and we'll be getting it up over this week, all over next week, but we're shooting a tremendous amount of video. Look at the Glock video. All you Glock fanboys, all you Glocksters out there, look at the Glock video. Look at the muzzle rise on the Gen 4 Glock. Because I think you're going to be impressed with basically how much damping you're getting off that double spring system. The other point that Chris made, and this has also been consistent with me in terms of having dealt with double spring systems in the past, Chris said we can expect a huge, literally tens and tens of thousands of rounds, especially in 9mm, against that double spring system before you have a spring failure. The spring weakens to the point that it's not working. So all in all, it's a significant improvement. And one of the reasons I wanted to lead with it is I felt I needed to eat some crow. Because, I made a little fun and, oh, they all look the same. They're all black plastic, whatever. The simple truth is, the fourth generation Glock is definitely a step up, and it's definitely a gun that's going to make a difference out there. So first and foremost, fourth generation Glock, take a look at the videos. Hang on a second. I want to get in a plug for Outdoor Channel, of course, for whom I labor. We filmed our video podcast, video blog at the Outdoor Channel booth today. That'll be going up this morning as well, on Wednesday morning. And, covering just some bullet points of this. And gosh, the booth is huge. It's huge. Outdoor Channel gets bigger and bigger. And we're also looking at the beta version of OutdoorChannel.com, the website. And it's just been tremendous. And the response to it has been tremendous. We got a lot of new video product and a lot of exciting things going. In short, I'm still toked up. I'm so excited. Torqued up. Not toked up. That's just a remnant from the 60s. But all things going really good. Hang on a second. Let's get in a plug here for the Outdoor Channel. And we come back, we're going to talk about more great new guns right here at SHOT 2010 in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Like the shooting sports? Like to see the newest firearms before anyone else? Then there's only one place to be on Wednesday nights. Outdoor Channel, America's leader in outdoor TV.
Welcome back to Downrange Radio, the audio podcast incarnation of Downrange Television, www.downrange.tv. And, of course, anything we talk about here, you can find the links on Downrange Television. And I also want to say that this radio show is made possible by our great sponsors, Ruger USA, with their new products, the SR9C for compact. Also, the 327 8-shot Blackhawk, bought that dog right off. I love that gun. Love that gun. And GP100 7-round in 327. So all in all, a good year for Ruger. Also, our friends at Para USA, makers of fine 1911s. And also their tactical target rifle. We've got video up on that on Downrange now. And another gun I was impressed with. I mean, a lot of times people say, well, oh, you know, you really like these guns. What am I supposed to do? I shoot them. They work great. But the Para TTR, excellent rifle there. With a shout-out to Al Zeta, Z-Man, the designer of the gas system on that gun. Also, Liberty Safes, America's number one safe manufacturer, also rolling out a new great big display here at SHOT. One of the things that I feel very strongly about is you got guns, you need to keep them in a safe place, and there is no safer place than Liberty Safes. Finally, our latest sponsor, our newest sponsor, Excess Sights. Again, a product I'm a fan of. Actually, I had lunch today with Dave Biggers, who is one of the top guys there at Excess Sights. We talked about some upcoming projects. Excess, you know, they got that narrow V in the back. It's like an express sight, and then the big dot tritium in the front, a very, very fast sight to acquire. So actually, we're looking at doing maybe a pocket pistol class at Gunsight, pocket pistols and lights sponsored by Excess Sights. And I definitely go out for that. I mean, that's just a cool, fun thing to do. Oh, gosh. So what else surprised me? Well, I can't quite say this surprised me, but I spent some time at the Smith & Wesson booth. And they're introducing two new guns in their Bodyguard line. And basically, the first one is a 380 semi-auto. So in essence, it is Smith & Wesson's entry into the great 380 semi-auto sweepstakes. That's been going on hot and heavy now for about 2 years. And Smith & Wesson did a nice job with it. The Smith & Wesson product, the little Bodyguard, it's on par with the Ruger LCP, the Carr, the Taurus compact pistol. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But the interesting part of the little gun is that it has an integral laser system in it. It's done in conjunction with Insight Technology, of course, big sponsors on some of my shows. They do super laser products, white light products, and they worked with Smith and Wesson. You ever remember the old Mad magazines from the 1960s, 1970s? Whenever they mentioned a gun company, they always called it Miss Ann Wesson. Anyway, Smith & Wesson worked with Insight Technology, so they have an integral laser in the gun. The laser is a part of the gun. It also uses the Insight Technology for either a consistent laser. You know, either you've got the red dot, or you can push the button a second time, and you can get a flashing dot, sort of a strobing red dot. There's a lot of people that like that strobing red dot. So you've got the laser built into the gun, got an automatic cutoff at 5 minutes. So even if you leave it on, forget about it, it's gonna be smarter than you. It's going to turn itself off. The other thing that I thought was really interesting about the little gun is that it's a hammer gun. It's not a striker gun. Most of the other guns in the 380 sweepstakes are striker fired. But Smith & Wesson decided that they wanted to go ahead and use a hammer gun. Why? Basically, the engineers at Smith & Wesson told me they felt that that delivered a more powerful strike, that a hammer gives a little bit more oomph in case you come across some 380 rounds with a hard primer. And sometimes you'll see that. I mean, I know there's some Russian rounds around in 380 that have a rock-solid primer. It takes a good hit on them. So Smith & Wesson opted for a hammer gun with the hammer kind of buried pretty far back, so it's not going to snag. There's no rough points on the gun at all. It's a very nice little pistol. Excellent trigger pull. Of course, double action only. Excellent trigger pull. The second gun, and again, I'm not surprised here. Last year, we saw the very first polymer frame revolver, the Ruger LCR, of course, from Ruger. And that was a 38+P revolver. So we also now are seeing a polymer frame Guardian revolver from Smith & Wesson. The interesting thing, of course, is Smith & Wesson has been making small-frame revolvers, their J-frame size revolvers, since approximately the dawn of time. I mean, about an hour and a half after the last dinosaur died, the first Smith & Wesson Chief Special came out. But Smith & Wesson, the engineers told me that they did not use a single part, not one single part, from their existing small-frame revolver line in the new gun, in the Smith & Wesson Bodyguard. Also, an integral laser, again from Insight Technology, built into the gun, you know, designed into the gun. And you know, here's an interesting thing. I picked the gun up, and just like I do with any revolver, the first thing you do with the double-action revolver is you go, bink, and hit the release on the left side of the frame and open the cylinder. So I hit the release on the left side of the frame, except there wasn't a release. It was smooth on the left side of the frame. Like, well, that's a surprise. So I'm like, and they said, Michael, at the top. Essentially, Smith & Wesson engineers moved the cylinder release up to the top of the gun. It's a hammerless gun, 38 plus P rated. And so the cylinder release at the top of the gun, making it essentially ambidextrous, right hand, left hand, you can hit the cylinder release with either hand. I think it's kind of a neat feature. And let's see, what else? Of course, it's a basic aluminum frame, stainless steel barrel, or aluminum window that carries the cylinder, you know, much like we've seen with the Ruger, a polymer frame on that. Really neat gun. Smith & Wesson did a really good job of keeping that one secret. That's one that they just popped out this morning. So kind of a really neat little gun. Also from Smith & Wesson, and one thing I really like that they're doing is Smith & Wesson is really committed to their classics line, going back in the Smith & Wesson line and looking at a lot of their really classic revolvers and that are getting harder and harder to find. Well, you can get essentially the next step in those revolver lines. And one of the things that they're introducing in 2010 is factory engraved revolvers. I was looking at a Model 29 factory engraved, and it was sweet. It was sweet. So they're offering a kind of basic line of engraving in a lot of their classic revolvers, which I think is super. In terms of new revolvers, I was looking at that they got that I really was drawn to. You know, I'm kind of a revolver guy, and one thing that I think is so smart that they're doing is they've reintroduced 22 J-frame size revolvers. Now, back in the old days, if you go back to the 50s and 60s, we call those kit guns. Those were guns that you would carry in your fishing kit, your camping kit, basically, you know, little survival tools, trail tools. And the assumption, I guess, in the 60s, the assumption was everybody had to have a kit gun. And they kind of fell from favor. I'm not sure why that is, but they fell from favor, and they kind of disappeared, and they got expensive. There's a few other 22 small-frame revolvers out there, but now Smith & Wesson's come back with a really nice airweight version. Also, one of the classic stainless steel versions. Why is that important? I think it's important because as more and more of us carry on a regular basis, you know, we carry pocket pistols all the time. You know, we put them in our pockets, carry them around. And when it's important to be able to practice with some sort of gun that mimics your carry gun whenever you can. I think that's a good idea. One of the big advantages of a 22 kit type gun, a 22 small frame revolver, J-frame type revolver, is you practice with 22s. It's cheap. You know what a fan I am of practicing with 22s. So that's a really neat thing. I'm glad there's a bunch of other flavors of small frame revolvers. Smith & Wesson has a fairly extensive line of small frame revolvers, some with built-in lasers. One of the things they also did was they expanded the 329 platform in a direction that I think is really smart. Of course, you're familiar with the 329, basically a 44 Magnum and a scandium frame, the primary gun, a 4-inch gun with a titanium cylinder, and you know it kicks like a mule on crack. I've got one. That's the gun we've had issues with the lock. We're not going to deal with that now. But one of the things Smith & Wesson did is they built a Hunter version of the 329. It's got a 6.5-inch barrel, of course, still a scandium frame, but they did a very smart thing. They put in a stainless steel cylinder, and that's going to alter that recoil wave. I'd be really interested in seeing if there are lock issues with a stainless steel cylinder in the gun that they would have with a titanium cylinder in the gun. But the net is it adds a little weight. The stainless steel cylinder adds a little weight. A longer barrel adds a little weight. But you've still got an excellent packing pistol in a significant caliber. I know it's going to be a great .44 special gun, but I think it also has the potential of being an excellent hunting revolver, a gun that you can cart around out there in the woods. Comes standard with a fiber optic front sight, by the way. You also get it. 357 Magnum, I think with a 6-inch barrel, you know, very similar, scandium frame, stainless steel cylinder. Neat guns. Once again, Smith & Wesson stays on the cutting edge, and that's not surprising. You know, they've been on the cutting edge for a long, long time. So, so many good things to look at. From Smith & Wesson, you know, we can jump over to Taurus, which is introducing a staggering 14 guns. Wow, a lot of guns. A lot of guns in the Judge line. One that I haven't had a chance to handle yet. Our video crews were over there filming, so we got video of it. Imagine a Taurus Judge rifle. Ha! A circuit judge, as it were, where you've got a revolving rifle shooting a 410, shooting the standard 410 cartridges, and expansion, a polymer frame judge. A lot of in that line, because basically last year, I believe the Taurus Judge was the top selling gun in the country, one of the top selling guns in the country, one of the largest sellers ever for Taurus. So they've expanded that line, longer barrel, shorter barrel, 2.5-inch 410s, 3-inch 410s, and that's good. I mean, I think it's great. I especially think it's great with the introduction of the Winchester PDX-1 specialty 410 self-defense shot shell. And I like this cartridge a lot. I had a chance out on range day to put a lot of these cartridges through the little Taurus Public Defender, the snubby Taurus, three inch chamber. But these are 2.5-inch cartridges. And basically, we've talked about this before on the show, the Winchester PDX-1 410 shotgun shell has three self-defense, they call them self-defense discs. So it looks to me like copper disc slugs and sitting on top of 12 BBs. So you're throwing a very big slug. The key thing here, too, is the discs are designed so they actually will pick up the rifling in the judge. They'll catch the rifling, which gives them some accuracy. And I heard that from Winchester when they were talking about the round. And that proved to be the case using even the very short barrel public defender judge. What we found was that those pellets were hitting the first of the self-defense rounds were hitting square. They were punching round holes in the target. I think we were shooting at like, I don't know, 7 yards, something like that. But they were punching round holes in the target, and they were giving a good group. Those three of the slugs were hitting really close to each other, spreading out just a tiny bit. And I ran several cylinders through, and in some cases running it as fast as I could, double action, bang, 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 you know, bang, 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 five shots. And there were groups. And that was really interesting to me, is all those slugs are hitting pretty much the same point of aim. You're getting a group with the slugs, and then, of course, the 12 BB spread out around it. We talked before, I guess, I don't know, 6 or 7 months ago, about whether the 410 was a valid self-defense cartridge. I'm thinking, with this Winchester PDX round, it has become a valid self-defense cartridge. And I think that it has a tremendous utility for homeowners in kind of closed spaces or apartment owners. I think the judge, I said this in the beginning, at the very beginning when Bob Morrison, the major domo at Taurus, showed me a judge prototype, I said, dude, that is so much an anti-carjacking tool. That is so much of a compelling anti-carjacking tool. And that was actually a lot of their marketing was built around anti-carjacking, because you're not looking at long range. It's not a target pistol. In order to get it to work well with pellets, to throw a good pellet pattern, you got to have a fairly shallow rifling in it. So basically, it's never going to be a target pistol. Yes, it'll shoot 45 Colt. And I didn't say 45 long Colt. Don't send me emails. Don't send me emails. But within the ranges of that most self-defense encounters take place, I believe that the 410 with either the 3-inch five-shot buckshots or the specialty self-defense round. I believe Federal also has a specialty self-defense round. But I think especially with that Winchester PDX round, that it moves into a viable self-defense milieu. I'm also looking at seeing those PDX rounds in 12-gauge because, again, my regular 12-gauge gun, my home gun, a Vancomp 870, Remington 870, is always loaded with Hornady taps, Hornady law enforcement buckshot. And on the gun itself, I like to carry three slugs. And generally, again, I think I have Remington law enforcement slugs on it. But these rounds, it was compelling enough shooting those rounds that I just have to say that's the ammunition I'm looking at going to. We want to do some penetration tests for the Best Defense, by the way. I was talking to Tim Crimmon, producer of Best Defense. We had dinner tonight, and we were talking about doing some penetration tests with those Winchester specialty rounds. But I think with the Taurus Judge, with the Winchester rounds, becomes a substantial, compelling self-defense tool. So, hey, also got a chance to finally shoot the Taurus compact pistol, their entry into the great 380 sweepstakes. Nice little gun. Again, nice little gun. Also available with a titanium slide, so it weighs about the same as a piece of chewing gum. But, it shoots well. Shoots great. I really like the 380 pocket pistol trend because I think it makes for a really, really nice, put it in your pocket. You get up in the morning, put the gun in your pocket, and you're good to go with it. So hang on a second. I want to get in a plug here for Crimson Trace who are showing their green AR laser foregrip. That's the big product this year. It allows for, if you need a green laser for a mission, you can add it. You can add that green laser module into your already existing AR-15 foregrip, which has been a huge, huge seller for Crimson Trace. That the red laser, white light foregrip. You have a green laser option for that. So let's get in a plug for those guys, and we'll come back and I want to talk. I really feel like I got to talk a little bit about the Beretta home defense shotgun. Hang on a second. We will be right back.
I've been on the local police force for 10 years now. I've stayed away from different gadgets and gimmicks that were supposed to improve my shooting. A few months ago, when I was at the range, another officer was using Crimson Trace laser grips. I have to say, I was pretty skeptical at first. Well, he let me shoot his gun, and I couldn't believe how fast and accurately I could hit the target, even in unconventional positions. At that point, I became a true believer and bought a set for myself. They were simple to install and easy to use. Crimson Trace laser grips are not a cure-all, but when my life depends on it, that red dot clearly identifies my point of aim, especially in low light conditions when most shootings occur. You could say it helps bad guys make informed decisions.
Get to your favorite gun shop and try a set today, or contact Crimson Trace for a free catalog at the location of a dealer near you. Call 800-442-2406 or visit their website at crimsontrace.com.
Welcome back to Downrange Radio, powered by Outdoor Channel, coming to you from SHOT 2010 in Las Vegas. And I have a confession to make before we talk a little bit more about guns. I've been a bad tweeter. I wanted to spend a little bit more time getting out a whole lot of tweets as I worked on the floor, but I have to tell you that I haven't had 5 minutes break all day long, and just being able to kind of tap in on my iPhone, tap in some Twitter comments, some tweets. I've been a bad puppy. I'm going to try to do a little better job of it tomorrow, but I need a clone. My problem is I fundamentally need a clone. I'm not sure if that's going to happen or not, but one of the things that, you know, I don't like surprises. I'm not a big surprise person. I'm not the kind of person that you want to give a surprise party to, because it only creeps me out. It's like having a clown at your party. It's just too creepy. But I do like surprises at SHOT. I like it when I come across a gun that I didn't expect. And one of those guns was the Beretta Home Defense shotgun. And that's interesting. It's a semi-auto shotgun, you know, 5 in the tube, that's designed on their new platform. I think it's that Explorer platform. Basically, a lot of polymer, you know, a lot of super light materials go into the gun. So here you've got a semi-auto 12-gauge that is very, very light. And when I picked it up, the first thing I thought was, wow, this will give you a thumping. Wrong. I was wrong. The gas system in the gun is just superb. We had it out on the range, and as Bretta pointed out, it's been like, I don't know, 25 years since Bretta did specifically a defense shotgun that carried the Beretta logo on it. Of course, they own Benelli, so, you know, they've got the Benelli guns, which are inertia-operated, recoil-operated, and as good a guns as they are, and the Benellis are superb tactical self-defense shotguns. Darn it, they will hit you. They will hit you. They're operated by inertia. You're going to get the hit on them. But with a gas gun, a gas system gun, that bleeds off some of the recoil. And I have to say, Bretta has done an amazing job with their gas system, because it doesn't feel, you don't feel anything. You shoot the gun, it's like shooting a 410, except it's a 12-gauge, and you just didn't get really any recoil off the gun at all. And another interesting point, as I've said on this show, I've said on Shooting Gallery, one of the reasons that I like pumps is because I know pumps are going to run. Whatever the ammunition is, you know, it's going to run in a pump. But standing there on the range, we had buckshot, we had federal law enforcement 9-pellet buckshot, we had federal law enforcement slugs, and we had low brass number 8 shot. And we just loaded them all in the tube, and the gun ran with all of them. A really good gas system. You know, it, for a self-defense shotgun, that's exactly what you want. You want the gun to feed whatever you put in it. And I thought the Bretta shotgun was excellent. Of course, screw-in chokes, high-rise kind of sight system, Picatinny rail, all those kind of things. But it's a very nice, you know, self-defense shotgun. And I keep saying home defense, self-defense, because specifically that's what the Beretta people told me they wanted to target the gun as. They don't see it as a law enforcement gun as much as they see it as a home defense shotgun. So I thought that was an interesting and surprising departure for Beretta. And I'm glad to see it. Glad to see it. Oh, gosh, well, there's just so much else. You know, you're kind of running around trying to catch your tail, you know. Some of the things you're going to see on Shooting Gallery, we're filming 2 episodes of Shooting Gallery. We'll probably get those shows up in March. We'll be ahead of anybody else at the SHOT Show that's covering the SHOT Show, of course, because that's what we do. But looking at a Gemtech suppressor specifically designed, ultralight Gemtech suppressor specifically designed for AR-15 clones, in 22 long rifle, and you know I'm a huge fan of 22 long rifle AR-15s, either a conversion kits or dedicated units, whether it's a Smith & Wesson unit, CMMG, Tactical Solutions, fill in the blank. There's a lot of them out there, but a special suppressor just for that, easy to disassemble, easy to clean. We looked at some custom rifles that are really, really neat. Off the AR-10 platform, you're going to see those in Shooting Gallery. I'm going to be running around. Finally, I'm going to get around to see the Chiapa Rhino. Yeehaw. Spending a little time with Charter Arms, because I think they provide an excellent package in terms of their small frame revolvers. They provide a good package at a fair price. And again, that's an issue that we just really need to deal with on Shooting Gallery, is sometimes this stuff is darned expensive. Darned expensive. Interesting thing, range day, I wanted to get to maybe a couple other shooting impressions. Spent some time with the upgraded version of the Barrett 338. 338 Lapua bolt-action rifle, of course, designed by mostly primarily Chris Barrett and with little help from Ronnie. And, gosh, it shot great. And partly it had a Gemtech suppressor on it, and, of course, that sucked up 20-30% of the recoil, boy, which helps on a cartridge like the Lapua. It made the big 338 actually fun to shoot and super accurate. I think we talk about that a little bit. Maybe on the blog, at, you know, 800-yard shots. I won't say they were easy, but darn, they were easier to make those 800-yard shots. Barrett is also showing a semi-auto version of the 416 Barrett. So, you know, 416 Barrett is a mission-designed, long-range anti-personnel cartridge, and it's starting to really take off with the military, as I hear. So it's pretty cool stuff. Pretty cool stuff, all in all. Tomorrow's going to be the big day. I'm hoping to get a little bit more time to ferret out new and different products. I'm really interested in seeing the Ithaca 1911. I think it's great of those guys to bring back an Ithaca 1911, and heaven knows we do need one. I got a chance to put a few rounds through the Colt 9mm Defender, which, you know, that's a great idea. And the guys at Colt were straightforward. Hey, at least you can get 9mm. It's inexpensive, less expensive than a 45 ACP. But the Colt Defender is also always a really nice platform, a small 1911 platform. And in 9mm, it is a sweetheart to shoot. So I put a bunch of rounds through that gun on range day. Just jumping around today, I briefly talked to John Ralston at Five Shot Leather and asked him to put together a couple of holsters for the Ruger SR9 Compact that I wanted to go ahead and get him started on those. I wanted an IWB. I want a vertical belt holster, a concealment-type belt holster, and I also wanted a cross-draw, a driving holster for it. Because I want to spend some time carrying the gun. I actually put a bunch more rounds. I have one at home. Of course, we put some rounds through and we filmed it for shooting gallery. That's, we got a lot of things going on, don't we? I filmed it for downrange and it's up. But I want to carry the gun. I want to just get a feel for carrying it. I like the SR9 platform. You know, I've no bones about it. I like the SR9 platform. I think that the compact version, having now shot several of them, definitely have the best triggers that in the entire like SR9 line of guns has, and I'm hoping that translates into, you know, I'm sure it does, the trigger system for the current iteration of SR9s. Of course, Dave Biggers mentioned again today while we had lunch that he has excess sights available for the SR9 platform, so that's kind of cool. Looking forward to those holsters. Just trying to, it's like chasing your tail. It's so large here. And we're at the Sands Expo Convention Center, and as opposed to the Las Vegas Convention Center. And it's just scattered all over the place. Woof. It's hard to keep tabs on what's where. Where's this? Where's that? I wish I had one of those Segways, you know, that I could kind of cruise around on the floor with it. But, you know, we're going to have lots more products tomorrow. I'm going to spend a little bit of time in the law enforcement tactical section. Oh, one more thing I just wanted to mention. Some congratulations to a good friend of ours. Of course, John Paul, JP at JP Rifles, was telling me today that he has signed a contract with Remington. So Remington is going to be bringing out a Remington-branded version of John's superb AR-15 target rifle. Remington has been kind of working around, you know, with their own platform of AR-15s, AR-10s, and they've been working toward a really super accurate gun, and they keep moving around on it. They used a lot of parts from John and from JP, and eventually they said, you know, instead of using lots of your parts, why don't we just have you make us the rifle? You make us the rifle, and we'll put Remington brand name on it. So that's a huge congratulations to John, who is one of the finest AR-15 builders on earth. You know, I've had a JP rifle for a long time, and they're just great. They're just great. They are machines. You see a lot of those guns in three-gun competition. Another quick mention, I was looking at gas guns today. I went by, I'm going to go by again tomorrow and spend a little bit more time talking about it, with Stag Arms, Mark Malkowski. a great sponsor of ours, and with his gas gun, the 8L, which he released in December. And it's, you know, amazingly enough, it's a gas piston AR-15 at an $1,100 price point. When most of the ones you're seeing at a $2,000, $2,300, $2,400 price point. So, and Mark said basically they're flying off the shelves, just flying off the shelves, because you've got Stag Arms quality, Stag Arms accuracy in a very affordable gas piston package. I also went by and looked at Saber Defense. We talked about Saber last week on the video podcast on their gas gun. They have a competition version. A really high-end competition version gas gun that they do a lot of sponsorship within three gun shooting. Really, really nice. If there's two words that set off this SHOT Show, it's gas piston and polymer frame revolvers. We'll be talking some more about those next week. Let's plan next week on an expanded downrange radio. We'll go an hour next week. And catch up on what I'm going to be working with tomorrow and looking at tomorrow. We're going to be, like I said, our focus is on video because I think you want to see the video. That's why we haven't really knocked ourselves out on still pictures or anything, because we're focusing on video. We're running three crews out here. We've got a huge, huge, huge amount of video for you that we're going to be putting up this week over the next couple of weeks. So anyway, I got to go to sleep. I'm sorry. I just absolutely positively have to go to sleep. And what better thing to go to sleep with than I guess another version of Viva Las Vegas, a rockabilly version from Johnny Ramone, because, hey, it is Vegas. I'm staying at the Hard Rock Hotel, and I say this in the least sexist way, absolutely, but You gotta give Hard Rock credit in terms of women who wear skirts roughly the size of what was actually a belt when I was in high school. It's like, yeehaw. The only thing is here at the Hard Rock, there's music playing, super loud rock and roll music playing all the time. And good heavens, it turns out that I actually am too old. When you're eating breakfast to Cat Scratch Fever, no offense, Ted, no offense, brother, I love Cat Scratch Fever, but just it's hard for breakfast. I don't know. It makes the eggs curdle faster. I don't know. But, if it's too loud, you're too old, I can't believe it. And speaking as a former rock critic in New York City, rock critic for like Rolling Stone and lots of other magazines, I never thought it would come to this, but indeed I am too old. Although, Thursday night, Outdoor Channel, Golden Moose Awards, for which I am not eligible. Darn it. Performer Ted Nugent. Looking forward to Brother Ted tearing it up on stage at the Golden Moose Awards. You know, we'll tell you all about that, you know, on Friday on our expanded show. Maybe I'll... Okay, don't tell anybody. Don't tell a living soul. Maybe I'll sneak a digital recorder in and grab just a little piece of Ted's set and we can play that. And, of course, then Ted will come beat me with that white guitar. He goes, wham, 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 wham. Anyhow, Viva Las Vegas. I am Michael Bain. As always, I've had a great time being here. If I wasn't about to drop over, keel over, dead into narcolepsy sleep, I'd stay up. We'd talk some more. But until next week, and especially if you're in Las Vegas and all you got's a pocket 380, you stay safe out there.